This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, good morning, Charlie.
And good morning to you, my fuzzy friend.
Or
furry friend.
Can you see the little scruffy beard here?
I saw you this morning, and I said, I wouldn't want to run into you in a dark alley.
Well, I want to thank all the people. Now, I won't start naming people, but
no.
I've already sent thank yous personally to them for supporting me in my cause.
Movember.
To support men's health in many, many areas.
Who cares about men?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't get a donation for that.
I was
going to
say, you haven't seen a donation from me, have you?
No.
I'll send one, I promise.
I really appreciate that. I'm well over $1,200 collected so far.
Wow.
And in fact, my daughter in Sarnia, Natasha, said, well, what's your goal?
Yeah.
Oh, good question. Point. So I've set a goal of $3,000 based on what I've raised so far. She said, that's doable.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone would like to help out in my quest to raise that amount of money for some wonderful health concerns, just go to Movember Canada online and you'll see a donation box there. Enter my name and away you go.
And that's Frank, P-R-O-C-T-O-R.
Oh, that's right.
Just to be clear.
You're good.
I was taught by the best, to be clear.
Now, listen, you.
Phone numbers.
Oh, yeah.
This is The Garden Show.
Oh, yeah.
We do like to cover off a lot of social issues, but this is The Garden Show.
All
and
right.
We would love to hear from you for any of your garden, challenges or successes.
Exactly.
Because it's a good time of year to talk about something.
All right. Anywhere in the province, toll free, here's the number, 1-866-740-4740. Then anywhere in the town, city,
416
in this
the 416,
local,
right.
416-360-0740. If you happen to be a first-time caller, let Carlos, our operator, know.
Yeah.
You're going to hear that before you get to the air. That's getting your garden wings. And the old mantra is call early, call often. One question per call. Please try to keep it to that. Sometimes.
And you can always call back.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
That's what we know is that sometimes, often at the beginning of the show, it's a bit slow. So, I mean, call early, get that first question in.
That's
and
right.
If you call right back, you just might be right back on the
air.
You
got it. Now, I was given an edict, several, when we came into the studio this morning. Charlie said, now, look, I want to talk about planting bulbs and I want to let folks don't put the hose away and all that stuff.
Well, I just sometimes I know you will get chatting.
Barrel the way through, yeah.
So I just wanted to let you know I had a couple of topics I wanted to address.
Oh, really? Well, it's
strange.
Your show, I suppose.
It is, yes. Hard to remember that sometimes. Nevertheless. Okay, really, really important.
Okay.
The most important thing is, and the reason I bring this up is because I fell for it. It got quite cold. Remember a week ago, 10 days ago, it got to well below zero.
Uh-huh.
So being a smart on the ball person, I went around, I disengaged all my hoses, I emptied all the water out of the hoses, coiled them all up, put them in the garage, turned off the water outside.
Right.
And now we're into double digits.
And boom.
And lots
it's
of sun.
Summertime again almost.
And at my place, lots of wind. So my gardens are all newly planted.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep trying to explain to Elliot, there's a difference between an established plant and a newly planted plant. You have to look after newly planted plants more carefully and with more attention to detail than we do with established plants.
Yeah.
So here's all these little shrubs and perennials, and the poor little things are limp. They're lying flat on the surface of the soil, and we've had so much rain, I'm in shock. So there I am dragging out the hoses, putting them back on the house, turning on the water, and watering. So don't put your hoses away yet. Everything needs to go into winter well-watered, particularly our evergreens.
Very good. All right.
Let's hold off. I understand we've had some cold blips, so that's fine. But don't think, I put away the hose. I can't be bothered to pull it out.
Pull it out. Excellent.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, we got to go to a break here, right? Okay. I'm really looking for direction, boy, because I feel if I step one step the wrong way, I'm in trouble.
Not at all. Come on.
No,
you enjoy my teasing.
I do. All right. We're back. When I say we, Charlie Dobbin and her little minion, Frank Proctor.
The sous chef of the garden.
It's the garden show on Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got the Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Charlie. Let's go to the phone lines and say hi to Evelyn calling in from Burlington. Good morning, Evelyn.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. I have a bougainvillea that I purchased this spring, and it was trained to be a little tree.
Nice.
Well, it's 6 foot high now.
Oh.
And I want to know how far do I have to cut it back before I put it away.
So how much of that 6 feet is stem? How many feet?
How many feet?
Yeah.
Well, it's got to be 5 feet.
Oh, okay. And then the top foot is where all the leaves are?
Yeah. And it's blooming. It's still blooming.
Aww. So when you say put it away, where do you put it? Where do you plan
well,
to
I'm
put
gonna,
it?
Well, I'm hopefully my niece is going to take it to her place. I live in an apartment.
Right.
And this is out on a balcony, and the tree is up to the top of the roof.
Oh, brother.
That's great. So you've obviously done some things very well. What I would do, you know, if it's, I'm just trying to imagine this. So we've got 5 feet of naked, empty stem, followed with about a foot of green and flowers on the top, like a lollipop, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the thing you can do is you can trim back bougainvillea at any time that makes sense. Usually right after it does a whole bunch of flowering, we'll cut it back quite hard because the new growth is where the new, more flowers will form. But when you've only got a foot in height of leaves, you're obviously not going to cut that all off because then you would have an empty stem and then the plant would die. You have to leave some leaves on it.
Okay.
So, depending on what vehicle your niece drives to transport this this plant to her place, she's going to have to lay it down in her vehicle anyway. I mean, you could obviously take down a few inches, like take the whole thing in by a few inches. You're going to take the flowers off if you do that, but it's not going to shorten the plant substantially. So, it's a bit of a challenge. You can't really lower the height a lot.
Yeah.
And then
well, lower than it was when I got it, like it was about 3 feet tall when I got it.
Right. So as it grew 3 feet this last summer, were you cutting all the green off the stem at the bottom?
No.
Okay, I'm
never
confused.
Cut anything off.
So you're telling me it's got 5 feet of stem with no green on it whatsoever?
Oh, it's all green.
Oh, it's all green.
Okay.
Okay.
It's all green. It's all leaves.
Oh, okay. So you said it's trained like a little tree. So I had an envision that it had a trunk on it.
No.
Okay.
No.
So it's like a bush.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. It's that big. You know what? You can trim up to 2 feet down, I'd say, at this time of year. In the spring, you can be more radical and take off as much as a third of the plant.
Okay.
At this time of year, or even, you know, in spring, even a half of the plant, you can trim it down or have wherever it overwinters, have it trimmed down in the spring. But for now, don't even do anything too radical because the plant is slowing down. But certainly, yes, you can certainly take a third down all around from the top and the sides.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for
and
calling.
And good luck with that move. That sounds really, like
let us
a lot
know
of good things
how
that.
It survives. Yeah.
Exactly.
They're great little plants.
Okay. Thanks, Evelyn.
Big plants.
There's Sandra in Etobicoke. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Charlie, Frank. I kept some bulbs from bulbs that I had in the house in the spring.
Yeah.
I dried them off.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they're actually trying to shoot. Mm. I'd like to plant them again to have in the house. Normally I would plant them in the garden, but this year I thought I'd like to do it for the house. What should I do?
Okay, so here's the scoop. If bulbs have been forced, we call them forced when they're in little pots, they've been artificially refrigerated to give them a winter and then bloom after they come out of the refrigerator, and we buy them very impulsively in January, February, March, because they're so bright and cheerful. So they're forced bulbs. You cannot force them again.
So I can plant, I can put them in the garden.
Yes, you can plant them in the garden, and they will come up next spring in the garden.
Mm-hmm. But I've done that in the past. Yeah, it's always worked.
Don't try and force them again. If you want some bulbs inside for yourself this coming winter, mm-hmm. pick up some bulbs at your local garden center and do the forcing yourself. Get a little pot, some fresh potting soil, plant them up, put them in a dark colored water once, dark colored bag into the fridge for about 8-10 weeks. Bring them out and they will start blooming on your windowsill.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Thanks for joining us this morning, Sandra. We got a good looking day. In fact, the whole darn weekend looks fantastic.
It does, doesn't it? Oh. So good thing, because the wonderful segue from what Sandra's call about bulbs.
Yeah.
Guess what I'm doing this weekend?
What? Oh, you've got thousands of bulbs you're going to be planting?
Well, I had about 1,000. I've planted about 500.
Oh, my gosh.
But the great part of the story is that yesterday, my colleague and friend Caroline DeVries, who runs Trade Winds International, which is the trade bulb site to buy for wholesale, but she also runs flowerbulbsrus.com as a retail bulb selling site. So she's had a crazy year. She said she's absolutely out of bulbs. That's
wow.
Everybody's gardening this year,
yeah,
right?
Well, with the pandemic, you know.
That's right. So everybody's still gardening is kind of the point. And some of the wealthy people who would normally be getting on their yachts for the winter aren't doing that. So they're spending tens of thousands of dollars on bulbs.
Man.
So it's been a great year for her.
Yeah.
But she did bring what she had left over to Durham College yesterday. And my 20 first year, first semester students and I and her planted up a whole bunch of really nice bulbs on the campus.
Oh, isn't that great?
So that's very fun. She also brought a few little bags for me to add to my inventory that I still need to plant. So I'm just looking forward to this beautiful weekend because that's what I'm going to be doing.
Good for you.
Lots of spots to get bulbs in.
Okay. All righty. Well, Charlie's getting busy. We're going to get busy with more calls in just a couple of moments. Let me remind you of the phone numbers. Here we go. In Toronto, call 416-360-0740. Anywhere else in the province, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Charlie Dobbin shall return in moments here on Zoom Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Charlie Dobbin and yours truly, Frank Proctor, delighted to be spending this Saturday morning with you. And that includes Lorraine out there in Cambridge. Hi, Lorraine.
I have the pins that I need to be set.
Whoa.
Lorraine, is your radio on?
Yes.
Could you turn the radio down just because we're getting feedback?
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay, I have two peonies that need to be split. Mm-hmm. I know this is probably not the right time, but could I do it in the spring?
Wait a minute, did you say peonies?
Yes.
No, this is the right time, actually.
Okay, now my neighbors, I'm going to give some to my neighbors, mm-hmm. and so do I dig up the whole plant mm-hmm. and then split it or chop it in half?
No, better. How long has it been where it is now?
It's about almost 30 years.
Okay, so, and you're in Cambridge. You're a little bit late. The trick with something like peonies, because they bloom in the spring,
yes.
we do our digging and dividing in the fall.
Right.
So we always do our digging and dividing opposite with flowering plants. So fall is the right time to do it. The issue is that it's already November.
Yes.
In a best case scenario, you would have dug the peony up more like mid-September. At that time, you would dig, get a fork, and if it's 30 years, it'll be a very large, it'll be huge, actually. And you want to get the whole thing up out of the ground, if you can, and then you let it sit up on top of the ground for a couple hours, and it will be a little easier to divide at that point. And then, it's a sharp knife, and that size tuber can be turned into probably 20 or 30 plants, but you just want to split it in half. The main thing is make sure each piece has an eye. It's like a potato, right? It's got eyes. And then the off it goes to your neighbor. The other one stays where you are. Maybe you put your half back where it was. But I would take advantage of that opportunity. Supplement your soil with some organic material, preferably some, you know, nice rich compost or well-composted, manure, something like that, because the peony would really like that. And then, of course, you'll also plant it at the same level it was growing, which is higher than you expect. You should see this, just the surface of the tuber at ground level once it's been replanted in order to set flowers. So now, because we're at November 7th, if you can wait till next fall, I would wait till next fall. If you have to do it this year, do it this year, but do it today. And the sooner you do it, the sooner those roots are going to get established. And then the plant is in a good position to get through the winter, no problem.
If I do it in the spring, it won't get flowers, but will it be alive? Would it be okay?
It would be, yeah, you can do it in the spring, but yes, indeed, you will have absolutely no flowers next spring if you do that.
All right. Thanks very much.
Okay,
Lorraine. You're very welcome.
Thank you for joining us. I have an email here from Alicia. I believe she's in Buffalo.
No, I think that's...
Or is that her last name?
I think that's her last name. I was confused
myself. I looked at that. Gee, does she mean Alicia in Buffalo or her last name?
Yeah, hard to say.
Well, whatever the case, you know who we're talking about, Alicia, right? She says, "Hi, Charlie. A while back, I wrote you about my amaryllis, which was old and living in the basement. It had flowered, but was in need of staking and light green in color. I took it into the house by a south window and gave it extra light, as you suggested. At the time, it was dying off as usual. I thought I had two bulbs and one dead, one which I planned on replanting when it went fully dormant. Anyway, I figured due to the old age of the bulb, they were overcrowded. The plant started getting green shoots again. It's greener every day, bigger and stronger. Now I have about 5 shoots and it's growing like a weed.
Mm-hmm.
Should be dying off for all its history, but it keeps growing. What do I do now?"
Okay. There is a photograph on the back. I'm not sure if you saw it. So a couple of things are going on here. So this is originally planted as much as 30 years ago. I had discussed this, I think, via email with Alicia I would use that same pot. I don't think it needs a bigger pot. What it needs is the amaryllis bulb does not want to be completely buried in the soil. We usually think about, bulbs underground, but amaryllis is a bit unusual. We put about 2/3 of the bottom of the bulb under the soil and top third of the bulb sticks up above the soil. So these are planted too deep. So what I'd be doing is I'd pull that whole mess out of the pot, clean up all that old soil, because that's going to be 30-year-old potting soil, scrub the pot, have some fresh potting soil on hand, get some fresh soil into the bottom of the pot, get the bulbs back in there and water thoroughly. Now, the thing with amaryllis is that it's originally from South Africa. So from an amaryllis's perspective, we are going into summer right now. We are not going into winter. So it very normally blooms in the summer, which is in South Africa now, which is why if you were to plant amaryllis now that you purchased at the store, they're going to bloom in the next, couple of weeks for you. So that's perfectly normal. When it's actively growing, as it is in this picture with lots of green leaves, the challenge for Alicia is it's unlikely to bloom. Well, there's two things. One is you can just let it be a houseplant. Let it grow forever and ever and ever. Never force it to go dormant. Keep it in your southern window. Water as necessary. You're going to have lots of floppy leaves. And every now and then, a flower will pop up.
Right.
So that's an option. Option two, let it go dormant. It's no water, no light. Just put it somewhere dark and dry and forget about it for 8 weeks. Then pull it out of that dark, dry situation, put it back in your sunny window. New shoots will grow again. And at some point in that process, flowers should grow. So what we try and do is we enjoy flowers around Christmas time. We have green leaves right from Christmas right through till August. And those green leaves fatten the bulb up to set another flower for the next Christmas. So you've got to get that plant on that cycle, which obviously you're not really on right now. So I'd be inclined to just let it keep growing in your window till next August and then shut it down. You may have a flower in the meantime, but get it repotted.
Yeah. Oh, it keeps informed whether it does flower or not during all that time. That sounds fantastic.
They're beautiful. Yeah. Amaryllis are so, I was telling the students about amaryllis yesterday when Caroline was there. She brought her catalog. They're just such a great easy bulb to grow. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's a horticulturalist when they plant an amaryllis. And you know what? Even if you don't plant it, they'll grow anyway. You know, Caroline told a story about sticking one under her bed and forgetting about it, and it grew under her bed and it was flowering.
That's my kind of bulb.
Exactly.
Self-administered.
It totally looks after itself.
All righty. Hey, let's say good morning. I wonder if it's as nice in Midland as it is in Toronto
probably.
This morning. Joanne is up there. Hiya, Joanne. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Morning.
It's a lovely morning here in Midland.
Great.
You bet.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk to you about dahlias.
Uh-huh.
We just planted them for the first time. They were tubers mm-hmm. in the spring. Mm-hmm. And they bloomed like mad. Mm-hmm. And now I know we have to dig them up. And we don't have a cold spot, like a cool spot to put them in.
Mm-hmm.
We have a garage that's attached to our house.
Mm-hmm. So have you had a frost, a killing frost yet, or are they still blooming?
Yes.
Yes, what? Yes, a frost?
Yeah.
Okay. So once the dahlias have been frosted and the leaves have turned black and basically the plant collapses, get out your digging fork, dig up those tubers, lay them out on some newspaper in your garage for a couple of days. After that, they'll dry down a bit. Cut off any of the dead foliage. Carefully get some of the soil, you know, without damaging the tubers, but just get any of that chunky soil off. And yes, if you have a garage that's attached to your house, all you really need to do is get like a, kind of like a Rubbermaid container, that idea, the plastic box. Mm-hmm. Fill that up with brand new, sterile, either peat moss or potting mix or something that's clean and sterile, not soil from the garden. Take those dormant dahlia tubers that have now dried down and are cleaned up and moisten the peat moss, if that's what you're using, or potting mix. Bury those tubers down under that, whatever that mix is that you put into the container. Put a lid on it and leave it in the garage. If, depending on the kind of winter we have, they will die if they freeze, but if they're buried in a good sized container surrounded by peat moss or potting mix that's slightly moist, they're very likely to survive in a good sized box in your garage. And then check them every now and then, every month or so, particularly if it gets really cold, put a thermometer out in your garage, because they will not survive if it goes, you know, 10 or 20 below out in the garage, but they will survive as long as it stays, you know, zero and above.
So they have, what about the moisture? We put a lot of water on them initially, like moisten the soil.
No, not a lot. Sorry, for putting them away for the winter?
Yeah.
No, you don't want them too wet. They will rot. You don't want them too dry. They will shrivel up. There's a fine line.
Yeah. So will that be good for the whole winter then?
Yep. And then you pull them out in March, find some pots that they'll fit into, and start them indoors in pots in preparation to get them outside once you're frost-free, March or April, depending on what kind of light you have, you know, windowsills, et cetera.
Yeah. Okay, so we have to, like, we have about 9 of them, and so we don't divide them up.
Not now. No, you could divide them before you pot them up next spring, but I would minimize any damage to the tubers prior to putting them away for the winter, because you open wounds on the tubers, diseases can move in and they can rot.
Okay, now you have
Joanne,
to make sure
sorry.
An eye in each tuber.
What's that, sorry?
An eye.
And they will, they're a little different. They're not, next spring, call me next spring and we'll talk about what to do. Let's get them through the winter first. And then if you're in good condition next spring, when you open up the box, call me and we'll talk about how to do the dividing then.
Yeah. Joanne, we have to kind of end it there. There are other folks waiting on the line to, get words into
Thanks
Charlie.
For your call.
Thank you for the call though. And good luck with all of that. Going to deal with an email, Charlie, from Barbara Baxter. She says, good morning. I live in Scarborough near the lake and was wondering if it's too late to sow grass seed to fill in the area that was previously a garden, now clear of all plants, approximately 7 by 12 feet. Gee, with this weather, I would think it'd be okay, but what do you say?
Well, okay, so it's from Ellen, actually, at the bottom.
Oh.
I know.
I miss that.
It's always confusing. So thank you, but also okay. Note the dates on this email. This was an early October email that we're just getting to now. So if you haven't already either purchased sod or sown grass seed in the 7x12 area, go ahead and do it. The wonderful thing about grass seed is that it will wait. It will wait until conditions are perfect for it to grow. So even if you get grass seed out today and it doesn't grow in the next week during all this nice warm weather, and it gets cold and stays cold for the rest of the winter, the grass seed is likely to still be there in the spring and will grow in the spring once those conditions are right. So let's make sure that when you do put it down, you've put down some good top dressing, we call it. Like a, there's some very nice soils out there that are called lawn top dresser in bags, perfect design just for what you're doing, filling in areas in our lawns. Get a nice blend of grass seed that will grow where you want it to grow, whether it's a sunny spot or a shady spot or a high traffic spot. Choose a good blend. Get that grass seed out there. And then again, keep the hose out. You're going to have to moisten that and keep it moist if you want it to grow this year. And of course, spring rains will likely do the moistening for you next spring.
Alrighty.
All right.
Okay, Charlie. Boy, we've got a number of areas we're heading to, but we're going to stay home for this time around. Helen, right here in Toronto, maybe just around the corner. Helen's on the line. Good morning. Hi, Helen.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning. I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. I have an outdoor plant I want to bring in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned about the COVID. Does it get into it?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Oh, wonderful.
Is it an outdoor plant in a pot?
It's a little pine tree.
Oh, but
I want to bring in for the winter.
Okay, but why would you want to bring a pine tree inside?
Well, because it's the type of tree that won't withstand the winter.
Okay, so it's a Norfolk Island pine?
Yes, it
okay,
is.
Okay. So, and it's in a pot right now?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. And is it like on your balcony or out on your front or back deck or where is
it? Well, it's out on my patio.
Okay.
Outside.
The question about COVID and plants came up last Easter because there was this whole thing about, you know, decorating the church or because churches were closed, delivering flowers to people for Mother's Day and for Easter and questions around, is there a chance that a virus would travel on plants? I did a lot of research then. The likelihood of a virus surviving on plant tissue is very, very low. And then again, how would the virus even get there in the first place?
Yeah.
Unless somebody who has tested positive sneezes on the plant. And so, you know what I mean? It's got to get there in the first
place.
Very, very unlikely. So I would not be at all concerned. But if it's been outdoors all summer, do give it a bit of a wash before it comes in. Straight water out of the hose, foliage, and right through the pot. Let it drain right out of the pot. Soap and water is even better, just to clear off some of the dust and the dirt and any little spiders, anybody who's hiding in the plant. Just do a little clean and then a rinse through with clean water and then let it drain outside. Beautiful to do this in the next day or so. And then inside for the rest of the winter. But make sure you get it in a sunny spot, bright spot in your house.
Okay.
Oh,
Helen?
Yes. Well, I have a south-facing window where it sits all winter, so it gets lots of sun.
Excellent. Sounds great.
Okay. Thank you, Helen, very much.
Enjoy.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Helen, because when you first said, you know, it's a pine, you're going to bring it inside, Charlie's eyes just boing. And then when you said, oh, no, but
tropical
in the case of Norway,
pine, yes.
Norfolk
pine, different
story. Island
Norfolk pine.
Island, okay.
A nip. We call those nips.
Right.
Norfolk Island pine.
As we say goodbye to Helen there, we have another line free, of course. So give a call to talk to Charlie in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, it is toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Hey, old pal John in Mississauga.
How do you know? There must be more than one John in Mississauga.
Maybe there's more
really?
Than one John in Mississauga. We'll find out here. I recognize his voice when he says hello. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Frank.
That's the old guy,
more than one John and Mr. Saga, but I always think I'm the special one.
You are the special one because you are the only John and Mrs. Saga that we speak with any regularity.
Charlie, with this nice weather, I couldn't resist yesterday. So I went out and I wanted to something to do. Mm-hmm. So I start pruning my fruit tree.
Okay.
The Bambinella, to tell you the truth, it's got the shoots or the branches, if you will, there, some of them are 5 feet vertical going up.
Yeah.
And I pruned quite a bit of them.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, my neck is so sore, but anyhow, Is it a good idea?
No.
No?
You know why? Because it's so mild. Remember what happens when we prune. When we prune, the plant responds by saying, oh my goodness, we have to not only heal that wound, but now we're, because of the way the hormones are moving in the plant, it's going to want to put out some new growth. And winter's coming. So the last thing we want to do is promote new growth on any of our outdoor plants at this time of year, because if it does succeed in actually forming some new little buds or new little tips, cold weather's coming and that those tips and buds are likely to get frosted off. So generally, when it comes to fruit trees, we radically prune them. And I get you with your 5 foot, we call them water spouts, right? When they go woo straight up, do those, get those removed, but try, look for a nice day in late February, early March.
In March. Yeah. Well, this is the first time that I've done this, but I tell you, now I stop.
Okay, so stop.
I have to find something else to do.
Well, how about, have you fertilized your fall, fertilized your lawn yet?
I'm waiting for Monday or Tuesday, Charles. I have a lot of leaves in the backyard. Good.
Yeah, there you go. That's your job. Get those leaves looked after.
Mulch them up.
I will.
Okay. You know what, thanks, John.
Thanks for calling, John.
Take care.
And you know what's one more thing for anybody who is so caught up with all their garden activities that they don't know what else to do? Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, now is an excellent time to fertilize your trees. So your deciduous, like your maple, your oak trees, this is an excellent time. If you are the kind of person who does fertilize trees, do it now. Do what you would normally do in the spring, do it now, because all the research has shown that if you do fertilize in the fall, the plant, because it seems counterintuitive that aren't we going to promote new growth? But we aren't really, because there's just not enough translocation or liquids moving up in the trees. Right. Everything's moving down. So the fertilizer you apply now literally just sits and waits till the spring.
Oh.
And as soon as that sun starts to shine and the birds start to sing, the tree starts to move all those liquids from its root, its carbohydrates that were stored all winter, from the root up to the tips to grow. And there you've got all that nice nutrient.
So you do that proper preparation for springtime for that all to happen.
Yeah. Well, and it's going to happen anyway. Like that's the physiological normal thing. But you add the nutrient now, it is still there in the spring and it is inside the tree, ready to go, and woo, your tree is just takes right off.
Gotcha. Okay, we have to take a next little break here, Charlie, but we'll be back to say hi to Leslie calling in from Hamilton this morning here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Okay, Charlie, let's hop along to Hamilton. Say hi to Leslie on the line. Good morning, Leslie.
Hi, actually, it's Yasmin.
Oh, Yasmin, hello.
Okay,
no worries.
That's okay. I love your show. I've been listening for years. Mm. I have a challenge. A couple of years ago, I bought eucalyptus and I killed it. Mm-hmm. I've done it again this year. It's drying. The leaves are drying. What should I be doing?
Well, okay, so where have you got it?
I had it in the bathroom because I thought with the moisture and you know, it would do well. But then I read that it should be in a sunny window. So I have moved it to a sunny window. It's kept moist. The soil is moist, but the leaves are drying up.
Okay, so the reason I'm going slow here is because I've never grown a eucalyptus plant.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I'm just...
And I have this issue with me. If something dies, I want to try it again.
You like the challenge, eh? Well, okay, so, I mean, eucalyptus certainly is used as a cut flower. We get it all the time in bouquets and such. Now, this is a tree. Like, this plant wants to be a tree.
Well, this is actually a seedling, but it can get to become a tree in certain areas. But I've seen them as 2 and 3 feet tall plants. In some of the nurseries, but mine is a very small 6-inch seedling.
Okay, so I'm just looking here quickly. Saying here, of course, that you can grow them on Vancouver Island for outside, but indoors. Let me just look up eucalyptus.
It was doing well outside.
Yes, it probably was.
This is what happened to me the last time too. As soon as I brought it in. I mean, not as soon, but within a short while. I found it was drying out.
Okay, so of course it's going to need. You got it in lots of sun.
Yes.
Good. And now, just quickly here, it's saying that, it, you know, it does make a very pretty indoor plant. It is a heavy feeder, requires full sun, highly adaptable. However, most important is basic feeding, lighting, and watering. So,
yeah, and the soil is moist.
Okay, but so that might be one of those.
I know it needs a lot of water. Mm-hmm. Seems to be in a nice sunny spot, but I just...
Is it in a pot with drainage?
Yes.
Good. So when you water, does the water drain right through the drainage holes?
Sometimes.
Okay. So if it's feeling moist on the surface to your fingers, don't water it. Wait until the surface of the soil is feeling a bit dry, but there's a bit of a still sponginess in the soil. So it's not like a bone dry, but there's still a bit of sponginess. Then it's time to water, and it's time to water thoroughly so that the water drains out the drainage holes.
Okay.
With room temperature water, so it's been sitting out for at least a day or two.
Right. Yeah.
And I, just off the top of my head, this sounds like a good sort of a plant to provide a pebble tray. So that's that tray of pebbles where the pot sits on top of the gravel. So you take away that saucer that it might be sitting in now.
It might. Okay.
And you sit the pot with the drainage holes, et cetera, on top of the gravel, and you keep water around the gravel at all times. So you've got that extra humidity happening around the plant. So that way, again, you only water when you get to that point where the surface is dry, and there's still a bit of sponginess. And when you water, the water will drain out the drainage holes and then fill in around the gravel. But make sure you always keep water in the gravel for the winter.
Okay, so with the dry leaves now, should I take them off the plant?
Are the dry,
wait till they fall off naturally?
Are they more on the tips or at the bottom, like old growth, new growth?
No, the newer growth.
The newer growth has got dry tips?
Yeah. And I think being more tender, they dried faster, right?
And the other growth looks pretty good? It's still flexible, the older growth?
No, it doesn't look pretty good. It looks pretty sad, actually, but not as sad as the tender growth.
All right, it's never a good sign when the newest growth looks crispy or unhappy. So on principle, I'd get out my sharp pruners and I would cut the whole thing back, cut those tips back, and you're going to try and force a new growth, which you're going to care for very carefully when it happens. If there is life in that root, it will grow more new growth, but you're going to have to cut it back to make that happen. Okay.
But should I cut the entire stem down to the bottom?
No. No, you got to leave some green on there. So it's a little, well, you said it's like only 6 inches tall. So take off an inch. Like, don't take off much.
Okay, Barb, we have to kind of leave it there, my love, because we're just running out of time for this segment, okay?
Yeah, that's Yasmin.
Yeah, thank you.
Let us know how that works.
All righty.
Thank you.
And we will return to the phone lines and try and squeeze in an email or two in our final segment coming up very shortly. But let's take a little break right here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Charlie, let's say hi and good morning to Franny Puntillo, who
email.
Full name is Francesca. It's an email. We're trying to do our best to catch up on those. Good morning, Charlie and Frank. I listen every week. Love your show. I have both sheep manure and lime for the soil to put in soon. I've got a 50-square-foot of garden. I've got 15 bags of manure, 4 bags of lime of 2 pounds each, and I'd like to put it in soon and turn the soil, then put more manure in the spring before planting. What can I do to make my tomato produce a lot more fruits? There you go. She'll be listening, she says.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like this past tomato crop was not what Franny was hoping for. So she maybe went to her local garden center, told them that she'd had these, what we call blossom end rot. So that's where tomatoes get black and you can't eat them. They're completely inedible. And she was recommended to get some calcium into her soil. So they sold her a bunch of lime. I personally would not put a lot of lime. I wouldn't put a lot of any soil amendment into any soil until I've done a soil test. Mm-hmm. You need to know what you're up against because you can really mess up your soil's chemistry by adding too much of something that's going to modify your pH dramatically. You can never overdo organic material, so that you can always add lots of. But lime, I'd be hesitant. So number one, let's do a soil test. It can just be a simple pH soil test. So that's go to your local garden center, go to, they have little meters, just like a moisture meter. There are pH meters. Do it yourself. Find out your actual pH. For optimal tomato growth, you want your pH to be between 6 and 7. Adding lime, you're going to push your pH up, and if you start getting it up to 7.5 or 8, you're not going to grow tomatoes or anything in that soil. So be careful. Don't add a bunch of lime without testing first. And remember, a nice gentle way to get calcium in for our tomatoes, save your eggshells. Right? Even in the winter, just stick them in a bag, throw them in the freezer, you know, after you crack open an egg. In the spring, crush them all up into little, you know, small chunks. When you plant your tomatoes, sprinkle those eggshells around the tomatoes, and you are adding an absolutely natural source of calcium around your tomatoes. That will avoid blossom end rot as they slowly decompose. But one of the most important reasons why we get that rot, that horrible, inedible tomato, is from inconsistent watering. So you're going to grow tomatoes. Don't be going away for a month. You've got to stay home and you have to water consistently. Okay. If we don't get rain, you have to water. And of course, plants in pots or raised gardens dry out faster than plants in the ground. So you've got to stay on top of that. That's the best way to avoid blossom end rot. Add some very natural calcium. Also, buy some fertilizer, tomato fertilizer with calcium before you add a bunch of lime. I'm just a little hesitant. I've had too many customers over the years who, back in my retail days, who really messed up things by adding too much to their soil, and it took years to get it back into a fertile situation.
Good points. Okay, all. Well, Barbara in Alden. Good morning.
Aiden, I think.
Well, let me check that.
Yeah.
Morning. Barb knows where she is.
Yeah.
Hi,
morning,
Barb.
Hello,
where are you calling from?
We just have a problem with a cedar hedge, and that it's going brown. Oh, excuse me. Going brown, like at the top in the middle. Is there some way we could correct that?
Okay, so in the middle is perfectly normal. Cedars, we call them evergreens, but they don't actually keep their leaves forever. So the older growth will turn brown, and that's when you put your gloves on and you comb or you get a broom and you brush out the very naturally browning interior growth of a cedar. If the tips are turning brown, we're more worried. So top tips, side tips, any outer edges of a cedar should be green. And then if the inside's brown, there's nothing to worry about.
Oh, okay. Like, is it not a good time to be trimming them?
No. No, just like I was saying with when John called from Mississauga.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, you're best to not do anything that's going to cause a plant to want to grow. So hold off. I like to hold off with any of the evergreens, particularly, until they are actively growing. So it might be May, it might be June, and then go to town, trim all you want. The plant will respond quite well at that time of year. And make sure, of course, the soil is in good condition. You fertilize, you water, you do all the other things to keep the plants in good condition.
Okay, so they should be watered well now before freezing?
Yeah, well, I don't know when our freezing is going to come, but depending on how well drained your soil is and how hot and sunny it is at your house, keep your hose out until we are into cooler weather and make sure all the evergreens are well watered.
Okay.
Okay. And
Barb,
you should...
Sorry, Barb. We have to kind of limit it there. Okay, they're running into several questions for one call, so we're trying to.
I know what happened to our one question per caller.
Yeah, I don't know, but folks get a little excited and
same subject.
They've trapped you.
Yeah, I know.
You're theirs for the moment. Elaine, I'll bet you it's a beautiful day in Bob Cage. And good morning, Elaine.
We are so blessed, especially with yard work and the opportunity to get things out of the garden. So
right.
I'm going to try and make it quick.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your program.
Thank you.
Last year, I think it was last year, you identified an American bittersweet vine for me. And so we missed one. And so we're up 15 feet trying to get all the berries and everything. Anyway, in the meantime, I found out that the entire plant is basically toxic, so we're wondering how would you dispose of it?
Okay, so you think it's toxic.
Except the berries, apparently rabbits and some
yeah,
animals can, but it is all parts of it are mildly toxic. So.
Yeah, because I always think of bittersweet as a wonderful supporter of wildlife, because for just that purpose, the berries are great. Let's see here. Toxicity. I just went to a great website here. So
cut it up and put it in a bag and throw it in the dump, or do you take it to toxic waste? Or
no.
I don't want to burn it because maybe the vapors are not going to be good.
No, I would bag it, plastic bag it preferably, and get it off to the landfill, and it'll die quite nicely in a plastic bag sealed up. But you're going to have to dig the root as well, because
we'll pull it out with a tractor.
Oh. All right. Oh, okay, good. Lucky
thank you so much. Maybe there's time.
Oh. Thanks for calling.
Yep. Bless your heart for calling in. You know what? We're just about fresh out of racetrack.
Just about.
So. Yeah, I can't believe it. We still have an email holding over, as well as Hilda on the line from Toronto. Hilda, I'm sorry, love. We just ran out of time. Please call early next week. We'll get you on, right?
That's right. Call early, call often. And,
that's right.
And be very focused with your questions.
And I didn't have one new caller.
No exercise for you, but I'll buy you breakfast. It'll be fine.
It's your turn.
For dry toast and water.
Under glass, yes.
No, well, like I said to you, I can support Movember, or I can support your breakfast. Tell me.
Okay, I'll go cheapy on the breakfast.
Okay. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you,
couldn't
Charlie.
Couldn't do any of this without you and your help. Couldn't do it without Carlos's help either, so thank you. Great callers. Keep those questions coming. Keep them focused.
Yes.
The more focused and clear the question is, the quicker we can answer it and move on to the next caller. So
exactly.
Happy to hear from you. And you can send email. We're getting to them slowly but surely. c.dobbin@mzmedia.com.
Excellent.
See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.